morning and welcome to Watch What I Watch, episode 29. How are we doing? Long bank holiday weekend here in Ireland. 4-day weekend.
And we only had to go through a pandemic to get it.
I know, yeah. We got another free bank holiday on Friday. Obviously, Thursday is St. Patrick's Day. But I hear rumoured it's not going to be Friday next year.
No.
It's been moved to St. Bridget's, Bridie's.
Oh, February.
Day. Oh, Bridie's Day, yeah.
Yeah.
Some, is that right? Some 17th of February, isn't it?
First of February.
First of February.
Okay. Yeah. Nice one.
In bulk, if you're not a rabid feminist.
What don't did explain you say? That, Mike.
In bulk is the traditional name of the festival.
All right. Okay. Gotcha.
In Druidic times or whatever. But now all the hairy armpitted diesel dyke fucking feminists have decided that it's actually some kind of retribution against maleness that they celebrate on the 1st of February.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that International Women's Day?
Yeah, that's right. All right. All right.
I thought that was last week, no?
No. Every week is Women's Week.
There you go. Well, nicely rescued there, Mike.
Not that we've alienated half of our audience.
Yeah, and my sister won't be over to fucking cut your fucking tackle off.
Sandwiches.
Shout out to my sister. Nice one. Nice one, sis. So we saw stuff this week. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Wolf Like Me. We're going to talk about Batman. We're going to talk about the Adam Project. We're going to revisit.
More besides.
Yeah, let's say it that way. We're going to revisit a couple of others that we've talked about before as well. So,
well, speaking of revisiting, I was on the West End again.
Oh, I thought you went over to get more soup. Oh, yeah, tell us.
I thought you were going to watch the rugby.
Oh, yeah. You're hilarious.
That's why you went over to Britland.
So I was. That's not why I went over, but while I was there, I took in a show.
Passport in Belfast. I think they do the blue passports in Belfast as well. You don't have to go to London.
What's a blue passport? Never mind. You guys.
Oh, you guys. Go on, tell us.
Quit joshing me.
Tell us.
So I went to see Anne Juliet. The three of us went to see it.
What
good show. And Juliet is caught. So.
What? Okay, go on.
I see the game you're playing, Wrigley.
Yeah, go on, go.
So basically the story is, what if Shakespeare's wife read an early draft of Romeo and Juliet and looked for some changes?
Mm.
Right?
I thought he'd a husband, though.
Shakespeare? Oh, I have no idea, right? But that's the story of the show.
Okay,
right? So it basically starts off and they are like, the two of them are, she reads the ending. He finally does the ending. She reads it and she goes, look, I don't think it's realistic that Juliet would top herself after she sees Romeo's dead. Maybe she'd just move on with her life. So they
open the shop.
That's where the musical starts, basically.
Writing his brother.
So it's Jesus, it's really tough to keep going through all this mire you guys are dragging me into.
I know,
into.
Yeah, sorry, man. But just so many problems with it. I mean, A, they fucking assumed her gender.
There's a couple of really funny in-jokes like that in the show. So it's quite modern, this. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have any purpose-written music. It's all pop songs.
Okay.
There's like three or four Britney songs in there. But the way they use them, not the Britney songs, all the songs, is really clever because they fit the lyric into the story.
Okay.
And if a lyric doesn't suit one person's perspective, then someone else sings it.
Okay.
And they do a really good job of making that work. It's a great song. But anyway, if you don't really like musicals, this is probably the musical for you. Because it's really funny. It's not like searching for emotional bankruptcy like the likes of Les Mis and all the other big ones. Yeah. It's not trying to make you cry your eyes out. Yeah. It's trying to get you to have a bit of crack. And then the songs are so upbeat and pop. Everyone knows them without having to be a musical geek.
Yeah.
So if you want to get a musical in and your friends are like, you know, Philistines,
yeah,
you could bring them to something like this, Mark said.
So if you were to take a step back from that statement and re-examine it, would you try and bring myself and Steve to see Anne Juliet?
I think you would enjoy the shit out of it, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
I think you would, even though I know you wouldn't be musical fans.
Yeah.
It's, oh, but guys, there was a couple in front of us. Oh, so funny. They must have been, the youngest they were was the late 50s, right? Yeah. That was the absolute youngest. I would be leaning towards 60s, right?
Yeah.
And they obviously don't go to musicals a lot. And they were steaming. Yeah. Like every time a song would come on, they would start dancing their chairs. And your man, the husband, was the husband and wife. Yeah. The husband was fucking, you know, fist pumping the air. And oh, it was hilarious.
Best crack every
time
ever.
They were having the best crack ever. Every time something would happen on stage, we would all react. And then we would look at them. And invariably, they were doing something even funnier than what had happened on stage. It was great. It really helped. Like,
how big was the venue?
Sorry?
How big was the venue? Is it like some kind of football stadium thing, or is it?
No. Like, so there's a whole bunch of theaters in the West End, and they're all kind of, they're similar enough size. Some are bigger, some are smaller. This one is like fairly standard. So we were sitting in the Royal Circle, which is like the second floor. And see the stalls, which are on ground level.
Yeah.
Right. And then you have the Grand Circle. I'm going to get these names wrong now. And musical geeks are going to be throwing their iPods away.
Stalls, just say level 1, 2, and 3. Yeah.
Grand Circle. Royal Circle is kind of in the middle behind that. And then there's another floor above that. Then you have the boxes down either side.
Right.
So we were fairly far back, but like we bought tickets late and we got them cheaply. So, you know, we still had a great view, you know.
Yeah.
There's a word then for the angle of the seats, or of the floor, you know, the slope. It's not the camber. There's a, anyway, I don't know. There's a steep angle in this. So as long as the people in front of you are sitting back,
old school.
Nosebleeds.
No, they weren't that far from the stage. But the thing is that if you have people in front of you at all and they're taller than you, or even if they're just tall,
yeah,
their view is going to obstruct your view. But in this theater, because of the angle of the floor where we were sitting, as long as the people in front of you sit back, You're golden. Like, so we had a very good view. It was really good. Cool. Anyway, I recommend it. And Juliet.
Very good. So good. What should you watch in the West End this week?
And Juliet.
Yeah. Very good.
Free soup.
If you're not a musical
free soup
fan,
on the way home.
if you're into musicals, you know, properly into musicals, that's not musical for you.
Okay. So what are we going to tell us about the Guardians of Justice, Mark?
Oh, boys.
Is this on Netflix?
It's on Netflix, yeah. So First things first, it's on Netflix. It tells the story, well, first of all, it's set in the 80s.
Oh,
and it is very serious about being set in the 80s. Oh. So they do, it's part animated, part live action.
Oh.
There's an awful lot of, would you call them screen overlays maybe? And they're all very like 80s arcade style art.
Okay.
The music is, you know, that synth sound that was so popular in the 80s, like in the original Tron and things like that. That's everywhere. That kind of music is everywhere.
It's good so far. Okay.
They are. So the focus of this story is a group of heroes who are essentially not an analogy. They are very like the Justice League, right?
Rip off.
You could call them a ripoff, yeah. Like there's a speedster, there's someone who's good in the water, and so on, right? But the way it starts is their version of Superman, who is basically identical to Superman, right? Including the fact that he has a weakness that is a specific mineral. It's hard to find, right? He's completely identical to Superman. Mr. Wonderful? He's Mr. Something anyway.
Right? Mr. Super Amazing.
Mr. Something, but he
real problems with copper piping. Yeah,
wait for it.
He's
right?
Not a plumber. Yeah.
So the way it starts is he makes essentially a bullet of kryptonite, and does this big monologue, and then blows his own brains out. Right. So it becomes then a detective story. So they're Batman analog. He's not called Batman, but he does wear an outfit that's very like Batman's. And he basically starts organizing what's left of the team and trying to figure out what happened, because they don't really believe that he would have done this suicide without something being awry. Okay. And that's where it starts. And it's good. It's weird. Like, it is weird. And like, I don't like when it switches into cartoon, but by the end of the episode, I noticed that I wasn't noticing it anymore.
Oh, okay.
So probably watch a few episodes, it'll make no odds to you. It's very dark and it's quite violent. There's lots of blood and stuff around.
Okay.
Not like to the level of, say, The Boys or something like that, but there is a lot of blood there. And they start kind of expanding the universe pretty quickly. Like they do an after credits, actually a during credits scene that kind of starts to introduce a new villain into the story who seems to be there. They're very like, they don't care that they're ripping off these characters. Like, so they kind of reveal someone who seems like he might be a Joker type character. Mm. And by like, I mean, exactly like probably. A different name. So it's good. It's good. It was interesting, you know?
Okay.
And it's nearly like a what if for the Justice League. So if you're into all of everything I've just described, mm-hmm. and there's a lot there that isn't in most TV, then if you like all that stuff, worth having a look at this first episode. They're not that long. So I think they're 30 minutes or something. So worth a shot.
Cool. Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. I'll give that a look. Is anyone up to date with The Dropout?
No. No, I'm not.
Okay, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. I'm up to episode 4 now. I didn't realize there's 10 episodes in the season, and I think I misspoke last week. Well, I was misinformed when I thought there was only 3.
Right.
Because it moved along quite quickly, and I got to episode 2 and I went, oh, there's only one left. They must be flying through it now, you know, but there's actually 10 episodes, which is fantastic because it's brilliant. It's great. Yeah, so far I can't recommend it enough. It's great. I can't wait for the next episode.
Anyway. So yeah, mixing up 3 and 10. You must be an engineer in real life.
I know. I just didn't do my homework, I think, on this one before he talked about it. Yeah,
he just rounded up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the analog Superman was Marvelous Man.
Brilliant.
So sorry.
Is he amazing? Fabulous? Something. No. He's marvelous. Okay, next thing we watched this week was... Go. Yeah?
It seems we're digressing into...
Oh, tell us about stuff you didn't put on the list, Mike.
Yeah, stuff
you didn't
put on the list. I'm just looking for some sympathy because I'm in indie podcast hell at the moment. There's three podcasts that have been, you know, taking up a lot of my time. First one is Fathom. Second one is Tower 4. And the third one, the one that got me through COVID lockdown, was The White Vault. That I have such a lot of love for that. And all three of them, I am waiting for another episode. But because they're indie podcasts, they do them whenever the fuck they feel like. So it's not like Netflix or Amazon drops a full series and you can just bust through them.
They don't answer to anybody.
No, there's no pressure you can put on them. You can send abuse at them and they don't give a fuck because you're not actually giving them any money. it's so frustrating to sit there knowing that your happiness is in their hands and there's absolutely nothing you can do.
And they don't care about that.
So I suppose it's a terrible balance between, you know, the horrors of commercialism and the ineptitude of amateurism. But I will give you an update on my frustrations hopefully later this year by the time they all come out and finish. Very the good. Show.
Can't wait.
By the way, I had feedback from a listener this week on one of the podcasts you recommended, the one that went Event Horizon.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And they said it was all right. Which is, but they're also saying if you like that, you should try Dust.
Dust. I watched Dust quite a bit.
Yeah, so they were saying season one, not season two.
Okay.
Is the one that Chrysalis is what it's called. So
okay. Yeah, all right. I'll take that on board. Could get me through some dark days while I wait for the other guys to sort their shit out.
Yeah. Very good. speaking of podcasts, do you know of a YouTuber called Mr. Beast?
I do not.
Yeah, Ewan might. Mr. Beast started about, I don't know, how long is he going now? About 10 years, something like that, ish ago. But okay. He just started YouTubing and he got obsessed with it. And he built up his YouTube channel. He's now the largest content creator on YouTube.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. He's got
us up early in the morning, that kid. Oh,
he's got 100 people working for him.
Wow. No way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Impressive. And so he does stuff. Now, all the money he makes from it, he puts back into it.
Right.
He says sometimes he's to get loans to get to the next one because there's a delay in filming and blah, 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 you know. Yeah, yeah. And he said they're not insignificant. His last one that he did cost $4 million to make the video.
Wow.
And it was a copy of, no, sorry, it wasn't the last one he did, but it was a recent one. What was the name of the Korean sort of game showy horror thing that we watched?
Squid Game.
So he recreated the sets, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Including the one, you know, where they're on the glass thing that they have to sort of pick which side to jump on or it'll break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He recreated that.
That's insane.
Yeah, and he hires a load of people and then he gives away shitloads of money. Like he gives away, like a million isn't a lot for him to give away, that kind of way. Like he gave away a private island in the Bahamas. Right. And he's like, oh shit, this island doesn't have a beach. So he shipped in 40,000 fucking tons or whatever of sand to make a beach. You know? It's nuts. He's like, yeah, we need to film on it, you know. Yeah, so he's got
That must be great though, to have that much money.
He's like 23.
What?
23, yeah. It's well worth a listen. Just to hear how he built it up and how smart he was about how he went about it. But he is it's all unscripted. That's what drives us, the production companies that he hires, bananas, because they're like, okay, what do we do now? What do we do now? And he just goes, I don't know. Let's see how it goes.
Why are you waiting to turn the camera on? Just turn on the camera.
Yeah.
Turn it on, point it at
me. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Point it at me. We're good. Just roll. Yeah.
That's my camera.
Incredible. Yeah, so it's well worth a listen, just to listen to it and keep going. Wow, you know, Mr. Beast.
Okay.
Is and check out some of his stuff on YouTube as well. He's kind of, well, he's not kind of like, I was going to say he's an entrepreneur like your man, Septic Eye Jack, you know, the guy from Athlone, or he lives in the UK now. But do you know him, Mike? No?
No.
Oh, yeah. You want to see the amount of followers, like something like 20 million subscribers or 40 million, so something ridiculous. So he puts out a video and it's like the following day he's got nearly a million hits. You know, all his videos are, and it's ridiculous cash coming in, like ridiculous, you know. Yeah. So, but also, oh yeah, the other thing about Mr. Beast I wanted to get to is he didn't just stick to videos. Mm-hmm. Now he's branched out and he's got like his own Beast Burger chain, right?
Oh, good effort.
Yeah, yeah. So he launched like on, what did he say? It was like 200 outlets in the one day because he licensed it out to existing restaurants. He did it over COVID. This was so smart. He did it over COVID. So he said, you sign up for this. Here's how to make our burgers. People ring in. They want to get our burgers. And then, you know, you send them out and it's a franchise kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said all of them ran out of ingredients. They had to run down to the local shop and fucking get, you know, shit like this. He's got his own Mr. Beast health bar or some shit going on as well. And just, you know, he's got loads of side businesses going. And as well as that, so he's realized that how many people are in the world? How many people watch YouTube? But it's only the English ones watching mine. So he started translating. So he hired a load of translators. So now he's got a system down that he's now licensing out to other people, saying, if you want to translate your thing, send it on to me and I'll dub it. You know, he's got voice actors, but he doesn't just go for any voice actor. Like he's doing Japanese at the moment. So he went and got a voice actor from a famous manga or a famous anime that people recognize and they go, holy shit. And same with Spanish as well. You know, people are recognizing the voice. Holy shit, I didn't know it was Mr. Beast that did the voice for blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah. You know? And the stuff that he does, it's amazing. It's aimed at adults, is it?
No. It's not our demographic at all.
We're same to kids, right? Okay.
We're 20 years too old for that. Yeah.
I was just thinking about the Squid Game thing because obviously that's allegedly aimed at adults, though every kid in the world seems to know about it.
Yeah. 18s, like, you know, that kind of. Yeah. I'd say his majority is like, you know, sort of 17 to 30, you know, kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I even saw Squid Game t-shirts in the local Tesco.
No way.
The other day. Yeah.
You didn't see any Middleton Very Rare while you're in there, did you? They've just released.
No, I didn't.
Jesus,
although I wasn't looking too hard.
Yeah.
Is that a whiskey?
Keep an eye out for it. They released a batch and there's another batch coming in July.
Very good.
Yeah, that stuff, that's better than gold.
That's on the out of my price range shelf. So,
oh, absolutely, it is. And you know, buy two.
Yeah,
you know, one to drink and the other one to pay for the first one. You know, when you auction it to someone in Japan, you know. So anyway, I digress.
That was interesting. But speaking of interesting, I presume you guys know what's happening at 9:30 UK time on Saturday.
Is it
the ISS is passing over Spain?
Close.
No, something way more important than that, I'm sure.
Eddie the Beast Hall is fighting Hafþór Björnsson in
Holy
Dubai.
Holy shit. I did not know this. That.
Is that what? Actually going ahead?
I thought you were going to tell me it was like ahead. A Survivor fucking finale or something.
Right, so the first thing that you should all do now is Google Hafþór and look at what he looks like now. You would not recognize him as the Mountain.
Really?
He's lost 55 kilos in preparation for this fight.
Holy
55
crap.
Kilos.
Wow. Holy shit.
Which for Americans is a lot of pounds.
I wouldn't say he's going to be shredded, but he'll be like not as fat as he was.
Holy moly, look at him.
He doesn't look anything like himself. So hopefully people who are listening are doing this right now. Oh. So you kind of have to think of the Mountain from Game of Thrones first. Put that into your head. What did he look like? Yeah. Right. Then Google him now.
Oh my God, he's ripped.
Yeah, he is. And he's so tall. So like he doesn't have a boxing background. Eddie does. Right. Hafþór has been doing a lot of exhibition bouts, whereas Eddie has been training with a former world champion the whole time. So it's very interesting to see. Presumably they're both going to gas 30, 40 seconds in, but I could be wrong about that because they're obviously supreme athletes. Like they know how to train and accept an awful lot of discomfort. So they could both be, I don't know, able to last 10 rounds. It's scheduled for 10 rounds, I think.
There's no way.
10 those rounds. Guys they're last. Not going to get to 10 rounds.
No. Even if there wasn't a punch thrown, they wouldn't make it to 10 rounds.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Actually, Eddie Hall, I saw getting his ass handed to him in.
Sorry, it's 6 2-minute rounds. I was wrong.
6 by 2. Oh, that's not too much of a stretch then. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot like...
12 by 3 is a lot less than 6 by 2. So.
True.
But Eddie Hall, I saw taking on... I don't know if you ever watched Beard Meets Food.
Yes.
YouTube channel. And Beard Meets Food is... He's not a big guy. He's maybe 5'8", 5'9". Probably 70 kilos, but a ferocious appetite. And Eddie Hall was doing a charity thing in Manchester with a eating contest. So he rang up Beard Meets Food to come and join him on the podium. And it was astonishing to see a human the size of Eddie Hall being out-eaten by such a small person. Eddie Hall had barely started, had barely gotten through the starter and into the main meal when the other guy was like wrapping up dessert and wondering if there was anything else to go in.
Yeah, these professional eaters are not to be trifled with.
No, it's leagues apart. It's like me going into Formula One with a bicycle.
Eddie had a food TV show on British TV there. He did, yeah. I watched it. So I think he's good TV, almost anything he's on. Like, I love when he commentates over the World's Strongest Men stuff.
Mm-hmm. I love his YouTube channel.
He's a really good commentator.
It's brilliant.
His YouTube channel is good too. He just some hilarious. Funny shit.
Yeah.
But the, like, you can see, and this is what I was talking about, how they're both able to accept a lot of discomfort. He was eating, like, the hottest wings or something in the world.
Okay.
And, like, you could tell that it was just nonsense. And they said, well, you should probably just start with. And he said, no. We won't start with anything. Just give me a full portion. Give me a full portion. I'll eat them. And like he obviously just had to fucking pretend that he wasn't dying on the inside and the outside and keep eating. It was brilliant. But he did. Like they reckoned he wouldn't be able to eat them all, and he did eat them all. But he's probably not in the league of a professional eater.
It probably still took him 6 months to get over the fucking hot things.
Probably.
So what time did you say? Is that 9:30 our time? As in GMT?
Yeah, it's on like midnight in Dubai time.
Wow.
Okay.
How did we not hear about this?
Yeah, they need to really...
It was meant to happen 6 months ago and someone got injured.
Okay.
I think it was Half Tour, but I'm not sure.
And Dana doesn't have anything to do with this.
Mm-mm.
Okay. That's why we haven't heard about it.
Well, they're making mega books out of this. Like, wow, this is boxing. This is real money now. This isn't like your UFC four grand to turn up $4,000 if you win. You know?
Yeah.
This is millions. Like,
wow.
And
I bet it is.
The prize is one of them gets to eat Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. Could you imagine? So. Moving on to our TV. Let's move on to our TV. Wolf Like Me. This is a miniseries. And the plot is there is a dude in Australia living with his wife. Or living with his fucking daughter, sorry. His wife has died. And they're in a car accident. And the lady who has smashed into them comes to visit to say sorry. And they make a connection. And it goes from there.
Excellent. Excellent synopsis. Couldn't do a better job myself. You give nothing away, which is key. So the guy who's living in Australia is Josh Gad.
Yes.
Who actual musical folk will recognize as the original Elder Cunningham from Book of Mormon. So he originated that cast, that role on Broadway. He's actually talking, I follow him on Twitter. He's talking on Twitter about trying to draw up some interest in doing a Hamilton type shoot of Book of Mormon with the original cast. He's going, would anyone be interested? And everyone's like, oh yeah, I'd be interested, Josh, please.
Come on.
He voices Olaf, the snowman in Frozen.
He does a lot of voice acting. Yeah. Did you know that he played Steve Wozniak in Jobs?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
When you look at him again, that's, I was like, hang on a second, isn't that Steve? Oh, no, it's not Steve. It's not.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Even though, Steve, you didn't capitalize the words in the title like you should, I'm really thankful that you put this on the list. Because I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think the chemistry is amazing in this. Sorry, go on, Steve. Sorry.
You better mention Isla Fisher.
Yeah, I was about to. It's because of her. It's because of her and Josh Gad. I think their chemistry is amazing.
Mm.
Like, they did such a good job of showing this initial connection. You know, like, they meet and they're kind of, neither of them is expecting very much because, you know, they're not out on the pull, right? Mm-hmm. They're meeting for many different reasons, but they're kind of, oh, jeepers, there's something there. I think they communicate that really, really well with their acting. And I say with their acting because, not to be stupid, but because there isn't a line in it where they go, oh, I find myself unexpectedly attracted to you.
Yeah. They don't spoon feed that to you.
There's no explainers. And then as the relationship starts to develop in the first episode, I think they do a great job of that. So I actually watched this episode twice. I watched it and I went, this is something that could be watched as a couple.
Mm.
So I just stuck it on. And Don obviously is into musicals like I am. Mm. So I was able to go, oh, that's your man. Hello, my name is Elder Cunningham. And it was my best Book of Mormon. So yeah, I think it was brilliant. It didn't feel very Australia-y to me, except for the fact that the girl that dumps him in the opening scene is from New Zealand. You know, that was the only thing. The opening scene has a girl with an accent and she's Antipodean. Apart from that, it seemed like it could have been shot in America. I presume it wasn't. But what I'm saying is the fact that they're in Australia didn't seem to matter.
Hmm.
Unless that's going to become a thing later in the series, I don't know.
Au contraire, sir.
Oh, here comes Mike to fact bomb me.
Tell us, Mike.
Oh, hang on. I'm going to get my fact lube.
I fucking hated this.
Did you?
For precisely that reason.
Which reason? Exactly.
But it's
the Australian-ness of it?
Yes. There was no reason whatsoever to have it in Australia.
There's no reason not to.
Well,
that's not a reason not to like it, though.
Two main characters are fucking American.
They are.
That's the whole point. They're fish out of water.
As a result of this, you have to come up with not one, but two bullshit backstories to explain why they happen to be Australian when they happen to run into each other.
Mike, they would have a worse bullshit fucking backstory if they weren't in Australia.
Well, maybe they don't need backstory. Maybe they just put another shrimp on the Barbie and carry on.
If they're going fucking actors. I mean, it was just a joke.
Oh, Jesus.
So tell us what else you noticed when you had your arms folded on the couch.
I also noticed it wasn't that funny.
It was pretty funny.
To me as a comedy, and then maybe a romantic comedy, and then maybe a horror. And I was like, okay, fucking...
Is that what you told him?
Shit or get off the pot, boys. What the fuck do you want to be?
Pick a genre.
No. I'm with you on this bit, on this point. Yeah, go on.
I call me psychic, but from looking at the poster, I assumed there would be some werewolfness involved, which immediately said, okay, there'll be some gruesomeness. Cool. And then there wasn't a lot. But I mean,
many episodes did you watch, Mike?
Well, I did some cheating and kind of went forward through it just to see if it ever got any better.
How many episodes did you watch, Mike?
One.
Six.
Six. You watched the whole season.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're saying you don't like it. I think you're confused about
it. No. I don't think he liked it at the time. I think he hates it now, though, because it made him watch it all. There's no slaughter. Go on. No dismemberment.
To come back to your point about family viewing, it's not fucking suitable at all. It's really, really quite shocking later on. It's quite violent and gruesome. But yet,
brilliant.
Not enough to be a horror. And certainly not suitable for a rom-com. And yet it's still not funny enough to be a comedy. Or romantic enough to be a rom.
So it's not rom, it's not com, it's not rom-com, and it's not a horror.
Yeah.
But you're saying it's better than all of those things.
Don't cross the beams.
I've already mentioned about that first scene where he's being dumped. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, so
to be honest.
So
I was roaring laughing at that, both times I watched it.
Yeah.
The things like the running away stuff, it's kind of...
The runaway wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Really.
But for a comedy, you'd kind of be expecting something funny to happen, wouldn't you?
Oh, Michael. No. Sometimes I think you're putting this earth as a test.
I have to say, I did find that a bit confusing. confusing initially. And I was sort of going, come on, don't do that. What's the point of this? And that was kind of annoying me. I did enjoy the opening scene. I thought it was hilarious. I did like their interaction. And I did like the way they built up his situation and his character. I thought it was very believable. I'm sure there's plenty of people around like that, you know. I was kind of interested to see how
in Oregon or Illinois.
I'm sure there's plenty of people everywhere, but I'm just wondering. I'm sure there's plenty of people in Australia too, but I was interested to see how that was going to pan out. Of course, we didn't get any closure on that in the first episode. We did get a hint as to what's coming at the end of the episode. It was a great hook on it. But I think that was kind of where I was going to finish with the episode. I don't think I'm going to watch anymore. I don't think I have enough interest in it. If there hadn't been that element to it, I might have watched more because I thought it was a bit of crack. It was easy watching, really easy watching. But I'm not after another show. Like I think it's going to turn out to be now, you know. So
it's just me and Mike that like this.
I'm just going to move on from that. Yeah. If you're to ask me, what should I watch this week?
Your anger.
It depends on what you're after. Because if you are after something that's light at times and a bit supernaturally at other times, could be good.
Fair enough.
Just not for me at this present moment.
That's fine. You can watch it on Prime Video anyway for people listening. It's on Prime.
How did you know that?
Oh, that's also. In fact, I have not filled out the sheet correctly. So I should have gone into the sheet and wrote down after your pick where to watch it. Was it as well as my own, which I didn't do. Anyway, right. Speaking of Netflix.
Sorry, I would just like to wallow in the resentment a little bit more.
That's okay. You can do that. So I am dying to get back watching the next episode of this, but I haven't done because there's so much stuff on TV everywhere else. The Sinner is back. There's a new season of Sinner has been out for ages, and I just started watching it. So I'm enjoying it. It's like, you know the whole thing about Die Hard, right? Where he's in the airport in Die Hard 2 going, how does the same thing happen to the same guy twice? Right? And it's the same with Murder, She Wrote, right? Which we've talked about at length. That, you know, how do you keep stumbling upon murders, right? So that's an issue with this guy, right? And in season 4, he's kind of, we find him right at the end of the last season. Him and his wife were very nearly fell afoul of the thing they were investigating, right? Not to say anything, because I think this is a great show. It shouldn't be spoiled. They're a little bit PTSD. He's retired now, right? And they move to a quiet town to get away from it all. But you know how that goes, right?
That's where it's at.
So whatever move he made, he finds himself in the middle of a murder investigation, right? And it's in keeping with the Sinner tradition. It's really more of a mystery than a murder mystery, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Which they all kind of are, you know. Like in the previous series of The Sinner, you're usually not in doubt about who killed the person. The question is very often why. Uh-huh. Now, in this one, it's not quite as dry, as cut and dried as that. But I don't really want to say too much, right? But it has that same layered puzzle, right, that you're trying to get to the bottom of. And it's kind of, there's always a reflection of his character in the series. And in this one, it's kind of, he's reinvigorated by doing his old job essentially after retirement.
Okay.
And they touch on that in quite a few places in the episodes that I've seen. I'm 2 or 3 episodes in. I'm really enjoying it. I always look forward to watching the next episode. So I'll keep going to the end. So that's the Sinner.
We've been talking for nearly 45 minutes and you still haven't told us about 1883 this week.
It finished.
Okay.
I give you the wrap up. You know, for like, I'm sure our fans know what I thought about how the series finished. You had your Homer eyes open glasses on, I seem to remember.
Obviously,
yeah. 1883 finished, Mike, I'm afraid to say.
Okay.
That's remember I mentioned at the time that it was actually a prequel to a show that's on season 4 now?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You're such a liar. Look at that. Do you see that, Steve? How easily he lied to us, his alleged friends. You can't trust that man. You just can't. Says he doesn't like a wolf like me after he's watched the whole season. Tell you. Couldn't sleep straight in the bed.
Watch his. I'm taking a hammer tonight.
I know, I'm getting the touch too. Obviously, because I didn't put in that The Adam Project is on Netflix, which is a segue we could use if you wished. The Adam Project.
Go for it.
Turns out Steve had the eyes open glasses on there.
Go for it.
So Ryan Reynolds plays time traveling fighter pilot. And he's joined by Walker Scobell and Mark Ruffalo. And your one, Tandy, is it Tandy? It's not Tandy Newton, is it? What's the love interest? Zoe Saldana, sorry.
Where did we see her before? That was on a certain podcast, and episode 1 of a certain podcast a number of years ago. What was the name of that movie?
Columbiana.
Yeah, same character.
not a million miles away, if we want to be reductive, but yeah, not a million miles away. So it's I suppose it is kind of a fighter pilot Back to the Future, right? They're fairly irreverent about the whole concept. They actually mention Back to the Future a few times in the movie. Ryan Reynolds is trying to stop a disaster, so he goes back in time to do that, and it kind of goes from there.
What do we think, Mike? I want to hear your.
I kind of want to hear yours, Steve, because I feel like you're very aggressive about this.
There is a certain furrowing of the brow there, isn't there?
Yeah, he was quite like I
come on, Mike.
For violence.
Come on, Mike. I want to hear what you got to say on this first.
Come on, Mike. Come on.
I'm not going to hate it. Mm-hmm. It was it's a kid's movie.
He says to his mother's dinner every night.
it's definitely a kid's movie.
Oh yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense. And it has a child.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense? Anyway, continue.
The time stuff, it doesn't make enough sense. Poke holes in it.
Makes perfect sense. All they were missing was a disappearing photograph.
Or melting away. Yeah.
Come on, Mike. Tell us.
I don't like movies that have children with speaking roles.
No, adult speaking roles, yeah. Which is worse.
Yeah.
This is a Unix system.
Yeah. So here, they're kind of tough because the older and the younger are the same person. So they kind of have to make them kind of the same. But that means one or the other isn't going to sound right. So I thought the younger was a bit rough.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. But you could see that he was so like he had mannerisms. So it's Ryan Reynolds. And so he had the mannerisms down. And the way he said some stuff, you went, geez, yeah, he was very like him there.
I thought the kid did a great job. His
timing was really good. You know, he had Ryan Reynolds down.
He did. Yeah, he really did. And I really like the opening scene with the kid where he's just chatting and giving back talk. I thought was hilarious.
I thought it was brilliant as well.
I watched it when I saw that.
Before
I put this on the list, I watched 10 minutes just to see would it be something that would we would all get through and be able to talk about it and not to infect too much. And I was really enjoying it. So then I went to sleep that night, having updated the list. And neglecting to put that it was on Netflix, just to leave you a bit of a mystery of your own. And then when I went back to watch it again, I actually went back to the start and watched that first 10 minutes again so I could see that scene a second time and enjoyed it that much. Obviously didn't bother me. It annoyed the you two guys.
I'd say if the kid was 17 or 18, it might have fit a bit better. But the fact that he was 12...
It was incongruent.
Suffer a little bit. Yeah, from that, all right.
I have to say, I'm kind of Ryan'd out as well.
Surely that's not possible. Same
kind of character through a lot of movies at this stage.
He's got the same delivery, I'll give you that.
Yeah, and I'm starting to think that he's quite similar to Chris Pratt, but I kind of prefer Chris Pratt.
I'll let Chris know.
Have you seen the Deadpools?
Yes.
There's more. Right, that's kind of the concentrated.
Yeah. So exactly, you could nearly compare it. So he has that delivery there. It's a perfect example of it. There were some brilliant lines in it though. Oh God, I laughed. I laughed a lot at some of the lines, like when the kid's going, "What was it? What you were?" Oh yeah, the bullet went. He was looking at. He's got injured. And he goes, "Oh, the bullet went straight through." And he goes, "You got shot." And he goes, "No, someone got a bullet and stabbed me with it." And it's just the delivery on it. I just thought it was brilliant. Just smart as fucker, you know. Anyway,
he is very good.
The storyline. Yeah, look, it like you say, it's the demographic it's aimed at. You know,
it's very good.
Absolutely, you know, it's you can just see it's not aimed at us.
But, perfectly congruent.
It's a fun, I would say, young adult family, whatever way you want to look at it, Sunday matinee kind of movie in the cinema.
For everyone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think it probably is ideal for keeping the youngsters entertained on a rainy Sunday afternoon.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Yeah, yeah.
Because they would be too young to see all the copiness that they've done from classic movies over the years, and they just wouldn't care about the fact that it did them not as well as the originals.
I really don't know what you're talking about, but I liked the references to Back to the Future, like I've already mentioned. I thought that was good.
Back to the Future was good, wasn't it?
I also am a huge Mark Ruffalo fan, and I really struggle to dislike anything he's in.
Yeah.
He didn't have
an Oscar Isaac thing going on, doesn't he?
He didn't have an awful lot. We should talk about that actually too. He didn't have an awful lot for doing in this, but I liked what he did. Like, I know we're slagging Ryan Reynolds for just being Ryan Reynolds, but like Mark Ruffalo does that too. Just the problem is he's so likable. What is it that Mark Ruffalo does? Well, he kind of comes on screen and says his lines, and then for some reason you find yourself liking him.
They're always smart lines. I think that's the reason.
And his delivery is very often quite deadpan and even, you know. But like I said, I just find myself liking him. I liked him in this as well. I really enjoyed it. I did watch it on an afternoon that had passed quite easily for me. So maybe I'm actually agreeing with you guys subtly. I don't think it's Oscar stuff. I think it doesn't compare to other time travel things we've watched this cycle, like, for example, The Tomorrow War, which has Chris Pratt in it. Maybe that's what you're was putting him into your head, Mike.
Maybe.
But The Tomorrow War is definitely better. I didn't have any great problems with the time stuff. Yeah, they were playing fast and loose with paradoxes and things like that. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know,
what are you going to do? That's right.
Time travel is not real, so why should I have to follow good rules?
We have to special mention for Catherine Keener as the evil side of it.
Yes, she got de-aged quite interestingly.
Yeah, that was really well done, I thought.
That was well done, Or was the effects were great in this.
Was she aged or de-aged? I'm not sure. De-beagled?
I have no idea. I should probably mention the whole fighter jet stuff. There was some pretty good fighter chase scenes in this. And the effects and all that I thought were decent. There's not an awful lot of them, but what was there was good.
Yeah. So, are we saying, what should we watch?
We should watch it. You should
Sunday,
watch it.
Sunday matinee, definitely. Yeah.
If you're hungover and the kids are louder than usual. Then go to Netflix and turn on the Adam Stick Project and say,
"Perfect."
Sit there and don't effing move.
Brilliant.
And he's going to be sleeping here because his head is sore because of your crying.
No, Daddy's sick because you cry. Daddy just needs some quiet.
Mike, tell us about the latest incarnation of Batman.
Well, I wouldn't want to confuse our audience like I was when I went to the sheet, because in the sheet it says Batman, and I don't know of any movie by that name released recently.
What's it exactly called?
The Batman.
Oh.
Is there a capital T and a capital
O? Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah. Okay. Imagine that.
Just in case you're confused that there's more than one. There. Tell us, Mike.
Okay. So this is the biggest movie of 2022 so far.
It's making gangbusters. Yeah. Absolutely making gangbusters. Yeah.
I think they've made their money over twice already before it's even. Yeah.
I bet it was money to make.
Yeah.
It costs money to make.
So they've been a long time waiting for something like this to come out and start replenishing the coffers. But it seems to have done the job in that regard. So the movie itself, it's yet another reboot. Is this like the fifth or sixth reboot of Batman?
It's a reboot.
Yeah.
Of the Batman property. It's not like it's a different Batman. He's calling it a reboot. Like, do you call James Bond rebooted when they change James Bonds?
Well, no, because they keep on with the universe. But
it's the same character.
Superhero land, what they do is they reset all the rules. So anything that happened in your previous...
Doesn't count. Yeah, fair enough.
So,
and they typically retell the origin story. Do they retell the origin in this?
Thank God, no, they didn't.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad.
I've seen The Origin like fucking 7 times. If I see his fucking parents shot dead one more time, I'll fucking shoot them myself.
So, was Colin Farrell good?
No.
Okay, was Paul Dano good? The Riddler?
No.
Shite. Okay. Was anything good in this, Mike?
What about the Catwoman? What about Catwoman?
I could just give you an intro first and then you could ask
me. All right, go on, yeah. Go on, go on, go on. Go on,
go on. Oh, look who wants to follow procedure now. Where was that when you left out the definite article?
Don't you fucking prompt me, bastards.
Where was Condor when the Westfall fell?
Go on.
So, yeah, it is the reboot. You have Batman in New Gotham doing new things. You have Mr. Sparkly Vampire, Robert Pattinson is the new Batman. And they don't bother really explaining where he came from. He's just there doing his thing, which I thought was a good idea.
Can you tell how far into his Batman career he is? Sorry for interrupting.
I think it's pretty early.
Okay.
Pretty early in the career.
Based on the age of the actor, probably, is it?
Partly based on the age of the actor and also based on the lack of say, public adoration or anything like that, or the knowledge, like the people that interact with him don't really know that much about who he is.
His legend is still young.
Yeah, like especially the cops. The cops really don't want anything to do with him.
Okay. Oh. Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon is there.
Oh, yeah, he's played by your man from the Westworld.
Yeah. But Commissioner Gordon's in a minority there. Whereas if you look at previous iterations of Batman, everybody's on side. Oh, Batman showed up. Let's just fucking leave it to him and blah, blah, blah. In this one, he's very much so an outsider to such an extent that even some of the bad guys think he's on their side.
Okay.
Well, Commissioner Gordon, played by Jeffrey Wright from Westworld, like you said, Steve, he was always in the Batman story an early adopter of Batman.
Yeah.
You know? And the rest of the cops are the late majority, aren't they?
Yeah. Commissioner Gordon, he was actually Felix Leiter in the Bond movies, the later Bond movies.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's right. I forgot about that.
So, before I get into the acting and whatnot, the story is corruption in the city has reached new heights, and somebody has started taking down the corrupt people, most of whom are important people in Gotham. And Batman starts tracking them down with the help of the police, and it goes from there.
He's saving the corrupt people.
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
No. He's if you want to look at it like that, yes, he is saving.
So Batman, the hypocrite.
You put it that way, Steve. You're quite right.
Have I just made it a good movie?
Yeah. So he's standing there holier than thou, going, ah, lads, you can't be being vigilantes now.
Yeah. That's terrible. That's fucking terrible.
Down with that sort of thing.
You've just actually completely changed my vision of this movie.
And is it like that they're ruining his operation? Like he's been undercover. He's like, I sunk 2 years of my life into this thing. And then they show Batman in his full costume sitting on a table playing cards with bad guys. Going, hey, Johnny, hit me.
I think the in-story explanation is that he doesn't quite realize just how corrupt everything is. I think he still has this naive belief that, like, the cops are the good guys, the mayor is the good guy, the fucking legal system are all good. And it's only as we go through this movie that his eyes are opened as to just how fucking... what a shitstorm the whole city is.
Yeah,
the baddies are bad, but the goodies are bad too. So, yeah, I think his motives are pure, but he's finding himself polluted the further he goes into his investigations.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting.
Does that make for a good movie?
So, in terms of the movie, love the way it was shot.
Oh yeah.
There's a meme going around. I think Steve might have sent it to me.
Yeah, about the darkness.
Batman movies. This movie is almost entirely black. It's very hard to see almost any scene in it. But it is very atmospheric. I looked it up. It's mostly shot in Chicago and surprisingly Liverpool in England. The City Hall is taken from Liverpool City Hall. The police precinct is the Liver Building in Liverpool, and the big cemetery is also one of the famous cemeteries in Liverpool.
Jeez, that's an awful lot of over and backing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think they did one trip over to get the shots they needed, and I think Wayne Mansion is also near Liverpool, some countryside estate.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big thing there. And to be fair to it, it looks very well. It really looks the part. Especially the police precinct just looks so fucking terrifying.
Really? Should
the police precinct be terrifying? Probably not.
But it always looks, in the games, it looks very gothic.
Yeah. Only to the guilty, Mike. Only to the guilty. Yeah.
And the comics too, right? It always looks like a real gothic, almost like a cathedral, you know? I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm dying to ask about how Robert Pattinson was able to pull this off, or if he was able to pull this off.
He's about 12, though, isn't he?
Yeah, this is the elephant in the room. Okay.
Like, I always thought he'd play a good Spider-Man because of his age, you know, but maybe I'm just being ageist.
Yeah, he's probably nearly 40 at this stage. But
is he really? Yeah. Wow.
Maybe he's not 40.
Steve.
Excuse me. Yeah.
But there is a real imbalance in the casting in this. In that the major characters are quite poor and the minor characters are excellent. So I would start with Jeffrey Wright, who's Commissioner Gordon. He's brilliant. He absolutely owns the role. He has that fucking wizened, seen too much cop thing going perfectly.
Deadly.
All the other cops, it looks and feels like, do you remember Hill Street Blues?
Yeah.
You know, all those kind of just doing the job kind of cops.
It's
got that feel about it. It's brilliant.
Really
well done. Zoe Kravitz is the cat girl. Mm-hmm. She is brilliant. Every scene that she's in, she really dominates it.
There's a lot of internet appreciation for that whole thing. The bat and the cat is trending a lot on Twitter.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Entertainment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will there be an award for the cat suit? At the award ceremony this year, will there?
Maybe.
We'll see. Depends who else.
I don't want to play my cards too early. But then you have like Andy Serkis. Gollum is Alfred.
All right.
And he's great. Peter Sarsgaard plays the DA.
Harvey Dent.
He's just such a smarmy prick. He doesn't have a huge part in it, but he's brilliant, you know. And then you have Colin Farrell. He's not in it that much. What he has is okay. I wouldn't say it was a standout performance or anything. To be honest, you would have no idea it was him.
You
see the casting. A bit like it was at the North Water.
Yeah.
Recognizable as well. He seems to be in that mode at the moment. Maybe he doesn't like how he's aging. Just make me up to him. But then you have the major characters, Robert Pattinson and Paul Dano. This, I think, is disastrous for the movie.
Really? I like Paul Dano.
No, I'm
disappointed to hear that. Yeah.
Well, I'm disappointed that the Batman isn't great in The Batman. it's an issue. Like,
yeah, my fundamental problem is that he's not big enough. He's right.
Not muscular enough. Like,
yeah, he's scrawny.
Is he styled after 60s Batman then?
No, 60s Batman was a lot bigger than Robin Pattinson.
Oh, yeah, he was a tall man.
Yeah, he's... My problem is that he doesn't look physically capable of what he's pulling off in the stunts.
Oh, okay.
Whereas you look at Ben Affleck, he's a pretty big guy. So when he's throwing somebody around the room, you don't question. Yep.
Yeah.
Whereas Robert Pattinson, he's trying to pull off fucking Jack Reacher moves at half his weight.
Okay.
Right. And it just doesn't sit right with me. If they had maybe given you some kind of backstory where you'd been bitten by a radioactive spider and gotten stronger, it would have made sense, but it doesn't. And in acting terms, Batman himself is always just like a stern, gruff sort of Judge Dredd character.
What are you saying? Go to bed, Mike. Go to bed. What are you doing up at this hour? Yeah.
So the opportunity for the actor to make Batman his own is when he's Bruce Wayne. And in this, there's virtually no Bruce Wayne. There's a few little scenes here and there. But he's basically just unhappy and waiting for his chance to become Batman again. There's no real exposition there on the Batman character.
So they don't spend time worrying about how can he possibly keep these two lives straight in his head. So there's a lot of talk on the internet as well about it being like the Detective Comics rather than some of the other Dark Knight stories. Is there a murder mystery in this, or some kind of a mystery that he's trying to detective his way through, sleuth his way through?
Yes,
even?
Yes, I would definitely say that's a fair point. He is going from one clue to another, a la Hardy Boys. I think Commissioner Gordon is doing more of the work than he is. But that leads me to the Riddler, who is the big... opposite number in this.
Yeah.
And he's beyond terrible. This is like
that's Jim Carrey's one, right?
Originally.
Yeah.
In terms of bad casting, I'm looking at Kylo Ren from the Star Wars sequels.
Okay.
In terms of just not being the right look and feel for what you're doing. I personally feel that for the Riddler to really have any gravitas and fear about him, as an opponent, you probably would have been better off putting in Andy Serkis.
Interesting.
He would have made a great Riddler, I think. Paul Dano just looked like a scared kid. Acting out his fantasies on the internet. It didn't seem like a worthwhile opponent for Batman.
Right.
It's really swing and a miss in that term. So how do I feel overall?
Should we watch him, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's worth watching. Mm-hmm. Despite serious faults, it's one of the better superhero movies. Like, if I compare it to Marvel movies, this is a lot more gritty and stuff like that.
Okay.
So,
as DC tends to be.
Yeah, it's definitely more to my taste than fucking Ant-Man fucking flying up on the ceiling or whatever he does.
Oh, isn't it nice to be reductive, Michael?
Like, my movie of the year when it came out definitely was Joker, So I'm kind of...
That's not a superhero movie, though. Like, yeah. I kind of react... I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's from that universe,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It is, 100%. Yeah. No, yeah. Like, you're right to bring it into the discussion. Okay, because it's part of this universe. But that was a question I wanted to ask then. On, yeah. I reacted when you said that. Like, Batman, is he really a superhero?
He's very morally fucking questionable in this, I'll have to say.
Well, no, it's not. I know he's an anti-hero to an extent, but I mean, is he a super person? Is he a meta-human? Like, he's not, like, but...
No, he's more got a special set of skills, you know?
It's more of a he's a bit type, like, you know? Somebody from Taken, And like the thing with the Keaton Batman was, it was all about where does he get those wonderful toys, right?
Yeah.
There was a bit of that bond about it.
In this, they very much downplay the toys. The toys are really not a thing.
Right.
But like they're there, but they're not emphasized in any way. So it's not the Michael Keaton approach.
Perfect comparison, I think, is Iron Man. You know, he doesn't have a special set of skills, but he's not super.
But he does have a suit that lets him fly and punch through walls.
So Batman is Bat Tank or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
They did a good job of bringing that out in the Justice League movie when they would show like Aquaman and Superman being battered and battering lads and then heading back in to make a cup of tea. Whereas Batman will be crawling home in bits with bruises everywhere and broken ribs. Like I thought that was brilliant that they juxtaposed what it's like to be playing in the big leagues when really you're just a guy who's able to speak in a gravelly voice for a long time.
Now, thing you've raised an interesting question for me. Although I have grave reservations about the physicality of Robert Pattinson as Batman, if you put him in a movie with Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. That could be interesting because he does have
seriousness.
He looks like he's really hurting. He's carrying a lot of fucking trauma from his childhood. Without them telling us about his childhood, he really looks like an angry, angry man.
Tell me you had a shit childhood. Were they telling me you had a shit childhood?
And Pattinson, to be fair to him, conveys that quite well. So I think if you focused on the psychological rather than the physical, that could be a very interesting movie.
Interesting. You've piqued my interest even more to go and see this now, to be honest. And like,
good job, Mike.
as I was walking to the West End, I passed what's that big.
I could be so watching Batman right now.
I could. There's a in IMAX. There's this big IMAX theater. Is it Leicester Square? I think it's Leicester Square. Yeah. And it's like this giant fucking 40-foot poster of the Batman.
Right.
And I was kind of thinking, oh, I better not tell the boys about this. As I walked past it to listen to people sing Britney's songs in costume. It's taken $500 million since it came out. That's worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's a big one, and it is losing speed, of course. It came out on the 8th. So it's been out for a while. But well, is it the 8th? Did I get that right? Anyway, it's losing a little bit of speed, but it's still taking a lot of money. So sorry, the 4th. It came out on the 4th. It's been out for 2 full weeks.
$500 million. Wow.
Yeah. A lot of schnapps.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see how it does this weekend. It was down a quarter last weekend over the one before. So we'll see how it does now this weekend. Yeah. So next week. Next week, I'm going to take a look at Batman. An HBO Max original. Well, I'll try and get to see Batman.
Yeah.
But I'm going to see DMZ, which comes from the DC universe, unless I'm very much mistaken.
DMZ.
Not a comic I ever read, no. But it's on HBO Max. It's about this kind of, would you call it post-apocalyptic? A civil war breaks out in a futuristic America and Manhattan becomes a demilitarized zone. And Rosario Dawson's kid gets trapped in the DMZ and she has to go in and try and get her out. So that's the high-level story.
No, Mom, I'm fine. Just stay where you are. No, I'm coming to get you. No, stop. Listen, I'm fine.
Stop trying to mother me. You always do this.
I'm here with the lads. I'm fine.
So that's going to be on the list for next week anyway.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I've just put on the list and marked HBO Max beside it for anyone who's wondering where they need to go to watch it.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter for updates and so you can play along.
At WSIW Pod.
WSIW pod. It rolls off the
just
tongue.
Rolls off the tongue. Yeah, so yeah. Easy.
So we're going to be cool. Okay, we'll leave it there then. So from Mike, Mark, and Steve.
Stay classy.
Stay classy. Didn't even try.